The life and the death of Christ forever established the unselfishness of God and the immutability of his sacred precepts. Christ's life, his death, his mediation prove that the law cannot be set aside, but that instead God and his Son had made the supreme sacrifice to enable mankind to keep the law which Adam broke in Eden. In the Review Articles, Volume 3, page 628, we're told that God gave his only begotten Son so that every voice may be silenced from saying that it is not possible to keep the divine law. And yet, my friend, in spite of such an outpouring of divine love, to unite man and the law in one flesh, men still dare to claim that Christ died to destroy not sin, but the law. Oh, my friend, read this. Christ showed that Satan's accusations were false. Read this. Christ said, Satan has declared that man cannot keep the law. I will show that his statement is false, that man can keep the law. That's from the Signs articles. Thank God for such clear quotations. And you know how men try to destroy the value of those quotations? They come along and tell us we can't trust the writer. We can't trust the writings. It's just another device to destroy the importance of obeying the law of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Quoting, Christ came to this world to live the law in humanity, that Satan's charge that man could not keep the law might be demonstrated as false. By his life, death, and ministry in heaven's sanctuary, Christ made it possible for all the sons and daughters of Adam to obey God's holy precepts. Thank God. Satan declared that human beings could not keep the law. Christ has proved this statement false. Christ vindicated the character of God and the veracity of his law. Quoting, by his life and by his death, Christ proved that God's justice did not destroy his mercy, but that sin could be forgiven and that the law is righteous and can be perfectly obeyed. Satan's charges were refuted. God had given man unmistakable evidence of his love. Now, throughout his life, Christ obeyed the law. He showed that by faith in him, we can obey it also. Volume 8 of the Testimonies has an interesting statement. Over in page 207 and over the page, Christ came to this world to vindicate the law of God by obeying it. In this way, he would prove the falsity of Satan's charges that the law could not be kept. His obedience proves that we can keep it also. At Calvary, the entire universe saw what Satan's proposed changes in the government would result in. Now, quoting, the guilt of Satan stood forth without excuse. He had revealed his true character as a liar and a murderer. It was seen that the very same spirit with which he ruled the children of men who were under his power, he would have manifested had he been permitted to control the inhabitants of heaven. He had claimed that the transgression of God's law would bring liberty and exaltation, but it was seen to result in bondage and degradation. Quoting, Satan's lying charges against the divine character and government appeared in their true light. Christ's perfect obedience fully vindicated his Father's law, and it demonstrated that trusting to his strength, man can indeed keep it. Quoting, Satan had claimed that it was impossible for man to obey God's commandments, and in our own strength it is true that we cannot obey them. But Christ came in the form of humanity, and by his perfect obedience, he proved that humanity and divinity combined can obey every one of God's precepts. Thank God for that. Oh, my friend, there's hope for you and I. Christ came to give us moral power to obey a perfect, unchanging, unchangeable law. Thank God for that. Christ came to give moral power to man to elevate, ennoble, and strengthen him. He came to prove the falsity of Satan's charge that God had made a law which man could not keep. While professing man's nature, Christ kept the Ten Commandments. Thus, he proved to the inhabitants of the unfallen worlds and to human beings that it is possible for man perfectly to obey the law. He vindicated God's justice in demanding obedience to his law. Those who accept Christ as their Savior, becoming partakers of the divine nature, are enabled to follow his example of obedience to every divine precept. Now, it was necessary that Christ take our fallen nature so that he could be tempted in every point such as we are tempted. Please understand now, this is why the fallen nature issue is so crucial, the nature of Christ controversy in our church today. Christ had to take our nature in order to provide an example that we could follow. He was tempted in all points such as we are, yet without sinning, to enable us to overcome in his strength just as he had done. Christ took our nature and overcame to give us power to overcome in the same nature. Now, there are literally hundreds of passages which confirm this. Here are three of these statements on the nature of Christ. Let us carefully consider them, quoting, "It was necessary that Jesus should take upon himself our nature in order to prove the falsity of Satan's statements. The apostate cast contempt upon the law of God and declared that it was impossible for men to keep God's commandments, which had been preordained in the councils of heaven." Now that's clear enough, isn't it? Here's another quote. "Satan had pointed to Adam's sin as proof that God's law was unjust and could not be obeyed. But in our humanity, Christ was to redeem Adam's failure. But when Adam was assailed by the tempter, none of the effects of sin were upon him. He stood in the strength of perfect manhood, possessing the full vigor of mind and body. He was surrounded with the glories of Eden and was in daily communion with heavenly beings. It was not thus with Jesus when he entered the wilderness to cope with Satan. For 4,000 years, the race had been decreasing in physical strength, in mental power, and in moral worth. And Christ took upon himself the infirmities of degenerate humanity after 4,000 years. Only thus could he rescue man from the lowest depths of his degradation." Now, many claim that it was impossible for Christ to be overcome by temptation. They say that he could not have been placed in Adam's position. He could not have gained the victory that Adam failed to gain. If we have in any sense a more trying conflict than had Christ, then he would not be able to succor us, to help us. But please, my friend, our Savior took humanity with all its liabilities. He took the nature of man with the possibility of yielding to temptation. We have nothing to bear which he has not endured. Now, over in Desire of Ages, we have another statement over in page 49, quoting, "It would have been an almost infinite humiliation for the Son of God to take man's nature, even when Adam stood in his innocence in Eden. But Jesus accepted humanity when the race had been weakened by 4,000 years of sin. Like every child of Adam, Christ accepted the results of the working of the great law of heredity. What those results were is shown in the history of his earthly ancestors. He came with such a heredity to share our sorrows and temptations, to give us the example of a sinless life." Another passage you can look at, of course, is over in Hebrews, the second chapter. Now, we can be ever thankful for what God in Christ has done to save us. We are ever to be thankful that Jesus has proved to us by actual life that man can keep the commandments of God, contradicting Satan's falsehood that man cannot keep them. And now, let us go to part 4, the controversy and us today.